What's good, world? It's your boy Pete Walsh, aka Lamborghini Petey. Episode, I think this is 74 of the Respect the Game podcast. I've been on hiatus. I apologize to the hundreds of people who listen to this thing. But now, for real, before I get into this today, I just want to give a special thank you to Spencer Dinwiddie, who helped out a lot in the offseason. Was super professional, was a huge help, and was a lot of fun to work with. So happy to see him playing well to start the season. Not a big surprise to me, considering everything he was telling me in the offseason. So, you know, just good to see the good guys do well in this league. But speaking of good guys, now that we're back from hiatus, had to bring in a heavy hitter.
Oh, yeah.
He covers the Knicks for Bleacher Report. He is a senior writer at Slam. He is
important.
What's that?
That's an important title.
It's the only title that matters, in my opinion. He is the host of the Chris Pot Porzingis. Pretty proud of myself for getting that correct on the first try. Yaron White. Oh, and he's the new father.
Yes,
most importantly.
Of course, most important title of them all.
Yaron, how you feeling, sir? Thank you, man.
I'm almost as good as having an NBA player regularly on the podcast.
it's better, in my opinion, having you here today. But what's good, man? How's the season treating you? I know you've been out at a few games already. What's the word? How are the fans at arenas? What's going on?
What's going on? I'm exhausted. That's what's going on already.
Already?
One week in, and I can't take it. No, it's exciting. It's fun. The beginning of the season's fun, right, to look at. You and I were talking a little bit before, but it's fun to kind of look at maybe not necessarily which teams and stuff, but you can pick up on little trends here and there, little things that have stuck out that maybe show what's going to happen the rest of the year.
Yeah, I mean, if we're lucky, the NBA season will play out as it has over the first week or 2 weeks, you know, with the Warriors not blowing people out every night, although that could change as last night.
I think I was going to say,
destroyed
the
Clippers last night, and, you know, the Cavs kind of struggling, but we'll see. I'm certainly not betting on either of those things.
Yeah, no. Though the Cavs, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, so let's just get into that. I don't know either. So as we're talking right now, it's Halloween, and they are sitting at, they're way down in the standings. They're 3-4. They just lost to the Knicks, a game you were at, I believe.
No,
that was in Cleveland.
That was in Cleveland. By the way, can I interrupt you? How dare you not have a hacky trick-or-treat Halloween topic radio segment? I think that's required of all sports radio podcast shows on Halloween.
I was never a big Halloween guy.
Yeah, me neither.
So I just never really gave it much credence or really cared about Halloween when I was a kid. I don't know if that makes me lame, but it was just never that. I hated dressing up. I never went to school dressed up. Did you?
No.
Never?
No, but it's also the Jewish thing there. So that.
What do you mean it's the Jewish thing?
I went to Jewish schools. Halloween's not really a thing there.
Wait, I thought you went to New Rowe High School.
I did not. I went to the upper class private Jewish schools.
Wait, are you serious?
Yeah.
I never knew this.
Yeah.
I always just assumed you went to New Rochelle High School.
I mean, 914 through and through, but not New Rochelle High School, except that part.
I love that you refer to it as the Jewish thing, too. That's great. So, yeah, I don't know. Whatever. I mean, it's fun to watch how into it the NBA players get into Halloween.
Yeah.
I guess if you're that rich and have that much time in your hands, you could really go all out.
Or somebody who you say, hey, go get me this costume.
Yeah, that too.
that too.
I mean, Isaiah Thomas's Easy Eat was pretty much spot on.
That was good.
And I mean, LeBron as Pennywise was pretty terrifying.
Yeah, it was.
So imagine seeing that. He's 6'8", dude, dressed up as a clown coming out.
Yeah, it wouldn't
work. No, I'm good. But anyway, I mean, I'm glad they're enjoying their Halloween because the season certainly hasn't gotten off to the start. But as LeBron said, it's only October. He's not worrying about it. Are you worrying about it at all?
Maybe you should worry about on the court as much as Halloween costumes, huh? What do you think about that, LeBron?
That's a hot take if I've ever heard one.
Am I worried? Can I say yes and no? Can I give that the follow-up?
Say whatever the hell you want, man.
The hot take with that. Like, it's still LeBron. He's still, what, the seventh straight year in the finals? He's still – let's forget about the Western Conference for a second. In the East, who's going to beat them? I guess the Celtics, you can say. But, I mean, they're going to make the finals, I feel like. But just this roster looks off right now.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess that's a credit to LeBron that everyone kind of thought that he would
–
that we'd have this brand-new roster, that the Cavs would have this brand-new roster, and he'd come in and – they would hit the ground running, but it's a lot of new pieces, a lot of kind of weird pieces, I guess would be the way to describe it. And if you had to play Jose Calderon minutes and really rely on him. This is kind of what happens, I guess.
Also, Derrick Rose. I mean, Derrick, like, he kind of stinks now.
I know. I can't. I
know it's hard, and like, especially, you know, slam. We don't want to be there, but like, he's not good right now. Oh, well, how about I put it like this? Maybe he's okay. For that team, he's really bad. He's a really bad fit for that team. Because if he's going to play backup point guard, or even start, like, the ball's in LeBron's hands most of the time. So you need a guy who can shoot or at least play defense. And he doesn't really do either of those. And so even, let's say he still has a little bounce left, and we can argue about that, but he doesn't play defense. I mean, some of these, like, we saw it last year with the Knicks. He doesn't play defense, and he can't shoot.
Well, no one on this team plays
defense. Well, that's a separate part. But the defense, I mean, we saw it last year, and then they kind of turned it on a little bit in the second half, end of the playoffs. I remember I was at was it last year? I guess it was after they had run through, well, they blew out the Celtics in the first two games, I think. Yeah. The Eastern Conference Finals?
Correct.
And I was at practice, and I was, like, asking, and I was just wondering, I think it was, like, Kyle Korver and Kevin Love and, you know, making fun of the whole idea, you know, flip the switch, that metaphorical flip the switch. And Korver's like, yeah, man, I didn't believe in that until I came here.
Really?
And Darren Williams said the same thing. And Love's like, yeah, it's different here. So clearly there's something there. So the defense, I'm willing to give more of a pass a little bit, but the things you look for in a regular season are, like, fit, and this fit just doesn't work. So who's playing on the wings for them? Who are the guys, you know, 3-and-D, not to overuse that, but next to LeBron, you need guys that can shoot and can guard a defender. And they don't have those guys right now.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at their best teams, they've always had, you know, a guy like Ray Allen.
Right.
Obviously, Dwayne
LeBron's
Wade
best team, you're saying. Yeah,
LeBron's best team, excuse me. Like, in Miami, even Mike Miller was giving them good
Battier
minutes. Battier. And, I don't know, Jeff Green is none of those guys.
No.
And he's got to play a lot for them.
Yeah. Like, so J.R. Smith's that guy, but, like, they're still relying on Korver, who he's aging. I mean, running – Korver's good for 10 minutes a game. You don't want more than that, I don't think, at a high level. So he relying – Wade, at least – I mean, Wade's over the hill. I thought when they brought in – I know that, and I know Thomas is hurt. I thought Wade was going to be – I was surprised they started him. I get this, like, politics of it. I thought Wade would kind of be the de facto backup point guard. You know, like LeBron last year talking about we need a second playmaker. I thought Wade would kind of be on the floor a little bit and – when LeBron was off the floor, have the ball in his hands and let him kind of create and do that thing. So playing him on the floor with LeBron, like, what do you bring out these lineups with? You have LeBron, Jeff Green, Wade, Derrick Rose. Like, there are no shooters there.
I mean, if this was, like, 08, that would be an incredible lineup.
And my NBA Live team from, like, my childhood, that is fantastic.
So, I mean, obviously everything could change when – and will change when Isaiah Thomas gets back.
Yep.
So,
but that's the other part, right? Like,
because he's got to fit in too, and you know the Cavs are big on fitting in, not fitting out.
Oh, good. Yes.
But I don't know. And you're right. It's like it's way too early to worry. Number one, and number two, I feel like heading into the playoffs last year, this was kind of the theme as well. Mm-hmm. It's like, are the Cavs going to be able to turn it on? Like, should we be worried about them? And then they stormed through the East. No, like, no one even was close to competing with them. So it kind of has that same vibe again. But anyway, I don't know. At least it makes things interesting. I never thought the Knicks were going to walk in and beat up on them. That wasn't even close.
What's interesting, and I guess it depends, we'll see how much pressure Kobe Altman, the GM, has, is especially if the Nets keep winning a few games here and there, how much pressure he feels to kind of dangle that pick and see if he can swing a piece to help push the Cavs over. If he thinks LeBron's leaving after this year, which, I don't know, it's certainly not a done deal that he's staying. We can all agree on that. No one knows what's going to happen. And the Nets, if that pick looks like, you know, if the Nets are kind of ahead of the Hawks, let's say, and Bulls, and that pick maybe looks like it's going to fall into the, obviously the lottery changes it, but into the six range as opposed to two or three. Do you dangle that and see if you can get it? I don't know who the guy would be, but see if you can get a...
Well, I think Bledsoe is the obvious guy right now.
Right.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, do you feel compelled to give up your assets, or do you just kind of ride it out with LeBron?
I don't know. I feel like if you have LeBron, you should be going for championships.
Facts.
I would trade. And I know... I don't know if that's so smart. I know that's how they kind of got themselves in trouble the first time around when he left. But this time it'll be a little different. Let's say LeBron left. You could trade that pick, and let's say LeBron left, you'd still have Love. You still have maybe Isaiah Thomas, maybe Crowder. You can flip or something. There's a path to rebuilding there that didn't exist the first time when LeBron left.
For sure. Anyway, let's talk about the team you cover a little bit, the Knicks.
No.
Or cover primarily, excuse me, because you cover the whole NBA.
I'm a special man. I can cover it all, Pete.
You're a specialist. So you and I spoke last week. I think, right? Was that last Friday or
This is what I'm saying. You asked how I'm doing. Like, it's all blended already. I can't even keep track.
So we spoke recently after the Knicks started. After it was actually the day after their first game against Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
And we were just saying how awful they looked.
How bleep they were.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You can curse on this.
Oh, okay. Nice.
But, you know, they've won three in a row. And one of those wins against the Cavs, which is counts for something. And and they just look like a totally different team in a matter of 2 weeks. They've really turned it around. Are you getting that impression watching them in person?
Yeah, I mean, it starts, Porzingis looks like a beast, right? Like,
oh my God, he's unreal.
It starts with that. It's kind of like, it's the fun part, the difficult part, and also the unfair part about the NBA. Like, one guy, you can screw up so much and so frequently, and yet if you find one stud, it can kind of change everything.
And I mean, it's just, it's watching this start to the season. Imagine he had gotten traded by Phil Jackson.
Part of me, like, schadenfreude, I think that's the proper word. Like, part of me kind of thinks that would be, like, wishes that would happen. Like, if Porzingis had gotten traded and still be going for 30, just it'd be.
Oh, my God, man. Like, maybe imagine he was doing this.
For, like, the Celtics or
like, the Blazers or some random team just going off for 30 every night. Man, I just don't. That really would have set the Knicks back probably for eternity.
Oh, yeah. But he looks so good. I mean, it's like. His mid-range, his or I'm going to call it mid-post game, is so good now. The turnaround, and he's so calm and so smooth.
I mean, he's just so crafty, too, in the post, like hitting fall-away bank shots. And he's just so goddamn good.
I said his post game reminds me, not saying that he's like that, but reminds me of Kobe's post game a little bit in terms of the moves. Late career post game. Like not as good as footwork, but just the idea of the fadeaways. I mean, last night, when's this going up? But the game against Denver.
So Tuesday night.
Tuesday night against Denver.
Monday night
against Denver. He's hitting some like these fadeaways, turnarounds on the post towards the baseline over two guys. And this is like against, I mean, they were doubling him. Paul Millsap's a really good defender, the kind of guy you think would give Porzingis trouble because he's kind of strong and long-armed and smart, and just they had no answer for him. He looks fantastic.
No team has an answer for him at this
point. No, the Celtics gave him trouble. The Celtics switched a little bit, and they swarmed him a little bit.
And that's what you wrote about, how like Marcus Smart gave him a lot of problems, right?
Yeah, and so that was last year, Marcus Smart. This year they used Al Horford on him, and they swarmed him a bit, and Nick's spacing was bad, and sometimes it's bad because they play two bigs at once. But it was interesting because Porzingis has already said he's learned from it, and that's part of what you want from the year, right? The idea when people talk about like why it was time for Melo to go and to hand the baton, for lack of a better phrase, to Porzingis. It's like the idea of learning what it's like to be the man, not in a cliche way, but just the idea of seeing, oh, this is how teams are going to guard me. This is how I adjust. This is like, it's a whole different, the playbook's different when you're the number one scorer, and it's good to start learning how to defeat that and go against that earlier as opposed to later.
Yeah, and I mean, how do you stop a guy who's 7'3", pulls up?
With a high release, that's a thing. And he looks so calm. Maybe that's another point. When he gets the ball in the post now, he's not rushed. He's like against a mismatch. He's really calm.
And he's pulling up from Steph Curry range.
Oh, his heat checks are hilarious now. He does it. There was one last against the Nuggets where he had like a dunk and then a block. And he's running down, and I think he took a shot from like 30 feet and went in and out. But he just is like, bleep it. I'm just letting it go.
I mean, maybe going to Latvia in the offseason was the best thing for him.
Yeah, staying away, far away from the Knicks was really good for him.
And it was because I spoke to him right before the season started, and he was just like, I can't wait to show everyone what I worked on. And I mean, I figured that's just what all NBA players say. But like, I think he really, truly meant that.
I agree. Yeah. I normally hate like writing like, you know, because, well, Slam Fam Lang Whitaker's muscle watch. Like everyone in the offseason got stronger, got in better shape, and I usually find stories about guys, you know, putting on muscle in the offseason really boring and bland and just they don't tell you anything. But it really seems like, I mean, he keeps saying that's what it is. We keep asking him, what's the difference? And like, we'll ask about the turnaround jumper. I think Bondi, of the Daily News asked him that in the scrum last night. You've really worked on your turnaround jumper, haven't you? What's the difference? And he's like, no, I always had it, just I'm stronger.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it really seems like that was a thing. And maybe all those Instagram and tweets and Snapchats and everything else of him lifting weights. Maybe that was worth it.
I mean, I'm always going to be nervous about injury with him just because he's so big.
Yeah, that's the thing.
But, I mean, if he can play at this pace, he's like a top 7 NBA player probably.
I mean, yeah, it's
and like, that might be even undervaluing
his
a
ceiling,
bit.
You're saying, yeah.
Oh, his ceiling is maybe top 3. Man.
Yeah, I mean, this is – I always say the phrase I always use is like teams spend years tanking to try to get a prospect like Porzingis. The Knicks have it. Now it's on them not to screw it up.
Yeah, and I mean that kind of goes to what's the next plan from here on out, because, you know, just a week ago they were literally being written off as the worst team in the NBA.
Who wrote that? Come on.
No one I know. No one in this room. And, you know, a week later they're 3-3, and since it's so early, they're right back in the thick of it. So, I mean, Tim Hardaway Jr. looks a lot better. He shook off the funk that he had early on in the season. Courtney Lee looks good.
Yeah,
Kyle Quinn's playing well. So, whatever. I mean, this team obviously going to win 50 games or maybe even 35 games. But at what point do you decide, okay, we're going to start unloading assets, or do you ride this out for 20 games and see what you have first? I don't know what they're going to do.
I don't know what they're going to do. They should unload assets. Like, Courtney Lee should not finish the year on the team. I like Courtney Lee. He's a good player. But, like, we're talking about the Cavs. He'd be perfect for the Cavs. I'm not saying there's a match there. But a guy like him could fit on so many teams that are contending. That's a meaning you can get something back for him. Same with O'Quinn. He's not as good as Courtney Lee, but he can help other teams. Lance Thomas isn't playing now. I think he could help teams a little bit. If I was a Knicks, my plan would be, you know, Porzingis, Ntilikina, and they have the draft pick this year. And they have their own draft pick this year, excuse me. And that's kind of going to be your core. It doesn't mean you give up games this year, but it's okay. What's your long-term goal? Winning 30 games is not your long-term goal. Your long-term goal.
So, I mean, their best-case scenario is probably Porzingis going off every night and
losing by one.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. 100%.
But, I mean, knowing the Knicks and considering their current stretch of non-playoff appearances, if they have a shot, they're probably going to try and make the playoffs, right?
I guess. I'm very curious. Scott Perry, the new GM, seems to be very patient. And Steve Mills, too. They seem to be really patient. And so far, they've said and done all the things that show that they're interested in rebuilding, whatever that means. Everyone's term is rebuilding is different. So, for example, Steve Mills signs Tim Hardaway. Some would say that's not rebuilding. He thinks that is because Tim Hardaway's young.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a bad signing, but the point is, it's still the eye is still in the proper direction. So I don't think making the playoffs is an important thing for them this year. And then again, Dolan could change that in the heartbeat.
Exactly.
So you never know.
Exactly. Don't bash my guy Tim Hardaway, man. It's not his fault. They walked up to him and said, "Hey, man, you want $70
million?" Tim Hardaway. When I hear something funny, Tim Hardaway, I live on the same block that Tim Hardaway did the first time around in New
really?
York. Yeah. In Riverdale, New York.
I almost gave up the
address.
Your address. I was like, oh, wow, he lives right by the blank.
In Riverdale, New York. Tim Hardaway lived in Riverdale, which is pretty funny. Not many NBA guys are there.
Yeah.
Getting frozen yogurt. Is a frozen yogurt place there?
Did you ever see him around?
I did not. I mean, I wasn't there when last time. Now he's upgrading. Right, right. Now he's a $72 million man. He doesn't need to live in Riverdale anymore. But, I thought that was pretty funny. He lived in a nice, much nicer building than I do.
And then, so you've also been to a handful of Sixers games, at least a Sixers game?
I went to something like that.
Well, it's only seven games in.
Okay, so there you go. Yes, how about yes?
That's a high percentage. what's your, they've won 3 out of 4, and their one loss was on a buzzer beat, Eric Gordon buzzer beater against oh my God, I almost said the Astros. I got the World Series in my mind against the Rockets a week ago. And since then, they came back and beat the Rockets. So are you buying in, or are you trusting the process? What's good?
Buying in. What am I buying into?
Them being like a 6-7 seed this year. The process working.
I think the process is working. I don't know about if they're going to make the playoffs this year. Ben Simmons is awesome.
Yeah.
Let's go with that.
Okay.
Ben Simmons, like, he looks great. He's so poised as a point guard. It's pretty incredible to watch, especially for a guy who can't shoot.
He can't shoot at all.
He doesn't even take shots. But that's kind of the interesting part. He doesn't even take shots, like at jump shots.
Well, he's like early Giannis. Like, Giannis couldn't shoot at all when he was young, but
exactly.
He just got to the rack at will.
And Simmons is so calm, and he's got such good court sense, and he knows how to – he's scoring. It's not like he's not scoring. So he's so good. And I think he's kind of the key for them, because if you're talking about the process – Embiid could be the best player on the team. I guess he has the highest ceiling probably of the team, on anyone's team, but who the hell knows if he's going to stay on the court. Fultz, we don't know either. Simmons seems like the guy. Last year was a knee injury. It wasn't a major injury. If they were in a playoff hunt, he probably would have come back.
Well, he broke his foot, too.
He broke his foot in the preseason, right. And then, sorry, not a knee injury, excuse me. It was a foot injury.
Yeah.
He fractured his foot in the preseason and then didn't heal 100%, but he looks fine. He's not worried. He seems like he's said that he would have come back, you know, last year if they needed him. Or he hasn't said that exactly, but the idea, you know, he's hinted as much.
Yeah.
So he's kind of the given there, right? If you have Embiid and you have Fultz and you have Simmons, Simmons is the guy who you kind of know. You kind of know what you have in a different way than the other two, and that's why he's so important.
But the Sixers, they just still can't go a year without fucking something up.
No, the Fultz thing's crazy. That makes no sense to me.
Zero sense. And we were talking about it in the office earlier today, and it's like as soon as you saw him shooting free throws like that, there should have been major red flags up.
Right, and nobody, and like it should. You're telling me nobody noticed that in practice with closed doors before it even got to like it becomes a viral video? It's unbelievable to me.
The fact that it got to the point that a reporter had to ask Brett Brown about it.
I know.
And Brett Brown was like, I'm unhappy about it. I mean, that right there, they should have just shut him down.
Yeah. They're claiming that, they're saying that it was a shoulder. I know that. And then the agent saying he got fluid injected. No, he got fluid taken out. I don't even know. Everyone's trying to cover their own asses, essentially. The trainer, they're blaming the shooting coach, the offseason shooting coach trainer. He's saying it wasn't me. It's a huge, huge mess.
It's a mess.
Makes Danny Ainge look good, right? For making the trade.
Yeah, for real. So. All right, had a little minor technical difficulty there.
What?
I know, you're wrong. Don't worry, your takes are still good. But they were so hot, you burned up the mics, man. But anyway, we were just saying how big of a mess this Sixers situation is with Fultz and how unfortunate it is more than anything. But you were saying that it makes Danny Ainge look like a smart guy. And, I mean, Tatum has been outstanding.
He looks good.
Yeah, he looks really good. Him and Brown. I mean, they've just won 5 straight. Which, I mean, is admirable enough after what happened to Hayward on the first night. That team could have really went in the tank to start the season. So, shouts to them. I don't really have any other thoughts on the Celtics.
Just they're gonna be so good. For the next 10 years, they're going to be a conference finals contender.
Until Brad Stevens is gone, I feel like they're just
– Yeah, and now they have Tatum and Brown and Kyrie. Kyrie, what's Kyrie, 25, 24?
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, and he's going to be flanked by Tatum, who's a great second – let me repeat. I think – he projects as a great secondary scorer, and he's long, kind of the positionless basketball. He's perfect, guard multiple positions. And Brown seems like the ideal, I'm going to call him like a super role player, and I mean that a compliment. The guy, he's not a create his own shot guy, but he's learning how to shoot, guard multiple positions, athletic. Yeah, they're going to be really good for a really long time.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we'd be remiss if we didn't mention Giannis here.
Giannis.
Who is just probably
he's decent.
He's the basketball god at this point. So I mean I don't really know what else there is to say that hasn't been said about him at this point, but just incredibly fun to watch more than anything, and can get his shot wherever he wants. I mean, the guy is just a superstar, and I think it came a little earlier than a lot of people expected, but I mean this isn't even his ceiling, and he's averaging 35 points.
It's
at ease. I mean, he's shooting 63% for the field. It's ridiculous.
It's interesting because he's kind of defying the wisdom, conventional wisdom that you like, you get to the next level when you learn how to shoot. He can shoot, but he's shooting 33% from three.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still, like you said, shooting 63% from the field and 35 points. Like,
yeah, I mean,
he doesn't need to shoot a three. He's just one step away from the hoop anyway. What's the difference?
And I mean, it's not like he's chucking threes. Dude.
Yeah.
He's just taking two a game. So it's not like he's hurting his team.
Right. And usually, like, you know, we always think, and usually it's the case, you know, like, you know, you can't shoot, teams will go under you and make it hard. And that's kind of the way they'll beat you always, and you'll have a ceiling. I guess if you're 6'10 with arms like 11 feet wide, you know, you can beat that. It's just we've never seen a player like him.
So what's your take on the Bucks? Like, do you believe in this team? I mean, do you think they're still a couple pieces away? I'm not in love with the pieces around Giannis. I've never really been a Chris Middleton guy.
See, I like Middleton.
See, I don't know. I never really got the hype. Explain it to me.
Teach
me your ways.
It's like the 3-and-D thing. I mean, not worthy of the money. I kind of take – sometimes when you evaluate players, I feel like you have to take the salaries out of it just because it's almost two different markets.
Yeah, maybe that turned me off.
You know, there's the market, like the economics of it, excuse me, evolve and kind of which guys get paid and how certain guys get paid. And it's pretty much if you're good, you can get almost a max deal now. So that's like kind of step one. Then after that, I go by fit and play. I just like, I mean, he's a good shooter and he plays defense and guards wings. I think that's valuable, especially around a guy like Giannis.
He's just not flashy.
No.
That's all it is. Okay. Right. All right. I'm easily
that's
swayed.
That's it. That was easy.
I'm going to be riding the Chris Middleton bandwagon from here on out. But I mean, do you think they make a move for Bledsoe? Do you think that's a good idea for them?
I wouldn't do it. I mean, because the idea, it's like, Giannis is the point guard, right? I think Brogdon's a really good fit for that, next to a guy like Giannis, kind of like, I'm going to call it the Derek Fisher type. He's better than that, or George Hill. These guys, these point guards who are that by position title, but they play off the ball and they shoot threes and they guard opposing point guards. And that's where Brogdon's perfect.
Yeah, I mean, Giannis, he's going to have the ball in his hands, yeah, so, 80% of the time.
Yeah,
anyway,
exactly.
Right? Yeah. All right. I'm being swayed on the, but, on
I
the
mean,
Bucks here.
Yeah, like their piece. And I mean, they're young. It's really, you know what it is, though? I think the most interesting part about them is that they've kind of done this not, it's the anti-tanking team, right? They never tanked. Mm-hmm. They didn't take pick number one or two ever, but they took swings, I guess, later on. With Giannis, they took a swing. Thon Maker, they took a swing.
McCorr?
Oh, is that how you pronounce his last name?
McCorr, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Or McCurr, something like that.
McCurr. That sounds so much more sophisticated. I had no idea what you were talking about when you said McCorr. I looked at you like, what the hell is wrong with you? You having a seizure? I had no idea what you were talking about. McCorr. Who knew?
Yeah.
I guess you did.
I
okay.
think his brother, his little brother is McCurr, I think.
McCurr. Did you see Shabazz Muhammad? Did you see that?
What about him?
I don't know. If you look it up, I think he said he wants to be called just Baz now or something like that. I'm like, I might be bungling that, but I'm not making this up. I'm telling you.
Man, I love everything about that.
That's and I got to find it. If you're listening, you can look that up. Google Shabazz Muhammad. I'm pretty sure that he said that recently. And guys, you know, maybe he was joking, maybe not. I kind of hope he wasn't.
I mean, he better not be, man. Yeah. But before we get out of here, let's just look west a little bit. I know you and I, we've already...
Listen, I got a baby.
Exactly.
I can't. I'm out at 10 o'clock.
If I'm not in bed by 11:30, I'm very angry the next day.
11:30? Wait, late nights? That's late, man.
So I've caught like the first half of a couple of the national
teams. Do you ever feel like if, you know, if games all ended in the first half, you know you'd be good on them. Like,
oh, I'd be a whiz,
you'd
man.
Be a whiz. In high school, I used to stay up for the TNT Thursday night game. College, obviously. But I don't know how I did it in high school. Where that's like 2 a.m. you're staying up till every Thursday night.
Yeah, I mean, looking back at the things I did in high school, and compared to if I did them now, I'd probably be near death.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. So, I mean, obviously.
And the weed.
Yeah, and the weed, man. The Warriors are, you know, 4-3. Is that right?
I don't even know.
They're 5-3. They smacked around the Clippers.
Yeah, that was kind of like, you guys think we're not winning.
Yeah,
here
exactly.
We go.
So, I don't know. I saw a quote today floating around that Steve Kerr said that he told his guys that, you know, Halloween is really the beginning of the season for them because he's going by the traditional
I like that. That's a good
NBA
move.
Schedule. So, they're probably going to reel off like 25 straight games. I mean, that's all that means to me.
They're amazing. Like, yeah. We can analyze them. I mean, they're so good. They're one of the best teams of all time.
So, I mean, so is there anything that stands out to you? I'm disappointed by the Nuggets start because that was
that's been a sexy team. That's been a poop.
Yeah, they've been a train wreck, man. So, I don't know. I guess that's what happens when you're relying on your 6'10 plotting big man to be the point guard.
Exactly.
So, you can't really run with at the same
pace. I'm surprised by that. I mean, the Clippers, I mean, notwithstanding the game last night, but they look good.
I like watching them a lot.
Yeah,
man.
Blake looks like, I mean, he's always a star. He's draining threes now, but not in a way like, you know, Charles Barkley's going to complain and stuff like that. But he's shooting a high percentage also, so that's a good shot.
Yeah, and I love Patrick Beverley is just a great fit on that team.
Yeah, they
too,
kind
so.
Of, they, in a way, it reminds me, it's funny because Gallinari's involved too. It reminds me of the first Carmelo Nuggets trade where you lose a guy, but you get some really good NBA rotation ready or better pieces back, and you don't necessarily skip a beat.
I mean, the big thing with them is health.
Yep.
So if those guys can stay healthy, they're going to be a problem.
It's a good team.
I admittedly have not watched the Grizzlies play yet.
No, but they keep winning.
I know. Now I really thought they were going to go in the tank this year.
I thought so too.
But as long as you got, I guess, two top 25-30 players on your team, anything can happen. So
we've played together for so long, and it's kind of that synergy is there.
Yeah, and I wish I could. I wish I had more to say about them, but I'll be the first to admit I haven't watched a single.
Seven games in, it's okay.
Yeah, I'll tune in when they play like the Clippers and the Warriors and such. So, but outside of that, I mean, I'm just waiting for Kawhi to get back.
Yeah, and the Spurs keep Spursing even without Kawhi, which is just like it's just
love DeJounte Murray, man.
Yeah,
great story. So. Big into that, and I don't know, the Thunder, they're still figuring things out. Pelicans, I mean, they're just what a hilarious roster.
That roster is like that. That is, you know what? That roster reminds you of something like Isaiah Thomas' Knicks would have put together.
Oh my God, it is amazing. Right?
Like Tony Allen, Rajon Rondo, and like DeMarcus Cousins on the same team. It's just like fantasy shopping basketball. It's just,
I mean, they wheeled in Jameer Nelson off the couch. I know. He came back. He's playing 35 minutes a night.
That's the best part. I feel like they've had a Jameer Nelson type playing point guard for the past 5 years. They wheel a guy in like that, like midseason.
Yeah, because every time the season starts, they're like, oh my God, like, who is our point guard? So, I mean, wheeling out Etwan Moore.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Ian Clark.
Tony Douglas was on that team a couple. Was he last year? Was he still on that team last year?
I think so, yeah. Oh. Man, they really know how to pick up down there.
Remember when Tony Douglas was like a Knicks savior?
Yeah. I went to training camp. I guess this must have been the first year I was covering basketball. So it was like 2011.
Right.
And I was watching him shoot around, and I was just like, man, this is not going to end well.
He had that like funky shot, like his hand.
He didn't follow through.
Yeah, exactly. I was about to say his whole hand. Yeah, didn't follow through. Perfectly put.
And I was like, there's no way you can play in the NBA if you don't follow through on your jump shot.
No.
But anyway, shout out to Tony Douglas.
Exactly.
I was really drinking the Kool-Aid at one point. but yeah, that's pretty much all I got. Anything else that I missed? Oh, dude, what's up with the Magic?
Yeah, that makes no sense. We were looking at the stats before. Yeah. Evan Fournier is averaging 22 points a game.
I don't know. Maybe we're not giving Vogel enough credit.
The problem is that roster is just so – I mean, I think – they had that game against the Nets where like Aaron Gordon had his best shooting.
He's
performance
been playing
of his
out
life.
Of his mind to start the season. I'm a big fan of Jonathan Simmons though.
Yeah, he's good. Listen, but they're if you're a Magic fan, Magic. I never the plural. That plural always gets in the way. If you're a Magic fan, are you happy? Like you don't want to win. You're so sick. I'd be so sick of this whole process. Not pun intended, but the idea that okay, so you're gonna try to win 29 games, like with Bismack Biyombo and Jonathan Simmons and Evan Fournier.
I would be excited, man.
Yeah, what's the future? I mean, I don't know. It's been 6 years since Dwight. That really
has it really been that long?
I think 5 years, something like that. And they've had nothing to show for it.
Well, I mean, they didn't pay Gordon, so that could really come back to bite them in the ass at the end of the season. But I don't know, man. If I'm a Magic fan, I'm definitely buying in.
So you like the Bismack Biyombo front court?
Is he star for them?
I think so. You know how old? He's like 25. He looks like he's 35.
But he comes off the bench. Vucci man starts for
Vucci them. Man? Vucci man. Okay, fine. Are you sure? Well, yeah, I mean, we sound like two experts here, huh?
Yeah, I know. This is pretty embarrassing. But anyway, they're 5-2. At least I got the Jonathan Simmons thing. Right?
I could make it up. Oh, the Magic, you know, good Vogel, tough
stop.
Defensive coach.
Stop. man, we sound like Francesa now. Like
exactly. I could pull it off.
All right, let's get out of here before we embarrass ourselves anymore. Yaron, always a pleasure, man. I'm sure we'll be seeing plenty more of each other as the season goes along.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and appreciate everyone listening. Go subscribe to the Chris Pod Porzingcast that Yaron hosts for more Fuego takes
exactly.
And the like and for Knicks coverage and all that. And follow him at Yaron Weitzman, correct?
Yes.
For plenty of great stories about the Knicks, but also national stuff with Slam, et cetera, et cetera. So thank you all, and I'll hopefully be back soon. I don't really know. After this little hiatus, I don't know what my schedule is like now. But all right, be good, y'all. Peace.